Julie Ryan, noted psychic and medical intuitive, is ready to answer your personal questions, even those you never knew you could ask. For more than 25 years, as she developed and refined her intuitive skills, Julie used her knowledge as a successful inventor and businesswoman to help others. Now, she wants to help you to grow, heal, and get the answers you've been longing to hear. Do you have a question for someone who's transitioned? Do you have a medical issue? What about your pet's health or behavior? Perhaps you have a loved one who's close to death and you'd like to know what's happening. Are you on the path to fulfill your life's purpose? No matter where you are in the world, take a journey to the other side and ask Julie Ryan.
Welcome to the Ask Julie Ryan show, where we blend spirituality and practicality to help you live a life of purpose and joy. About a year ago, I met Denise Swenson when she called into my show seeking guidance as she approached death. Denise has agreed to join me today for a heartfelt conversation about her end-of-life journey. Now, you're going to want to listen to this entire conversation because I accompany this courageous woman as she experiences her walk to heaven on the Ask Julie Ryan show. Oh, and remember to subscribe, comment, and share this episode with all of your family and friends. Denise, you big sweetheart, thank you for taking the time to join us today. You look beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. That's nice to hear.
Every time you come on the show, when you call in on a Thursday night and you ask a question, and what was the first time you called in? About a year ago, I think.
I think so, about a year ago, because I have written down July of last year, I was in phase 11.
Right. So you've been in phase 11 for, what's that? We're in March now, so.
Yeah, almost a year.
You know, yeah. About 7 months. Yeah, about 7 months.
More than I expected. But, right. You know, I don't know the date.
And every time you call into the show, we always have lots of comments from people who watch and listen to the show. And that's why I was led to ask you if you'd be willing to talk to us about what you're experiencing here at the end of your life, because not only is it going to help you, I think, but I also think it's going to really leave a lasting impression on everybody that has the opportunity to watch this from now till kingdom come, as long as it's up. And
right.
what a brave woman you are to share
what you've been going through.
First of all, can you tell us what's going on? Why are you dying?
That's a good question. My first cancer, ovarian cancer, was back in 2011, the same month. And then 10 years and 3 days later, I got a reoccurrence of the same cancer with a big bang in its metastatic. So it's, they tried to take it all out. And every time I did the normal route, you know, chemo and the surgery. And but even in the surgery, they couldn't get it all out. So I thought, well, I'm going to give them 6 rounds of chemo. And then also another drug, try to help my system out internally. And then we would test, and it just kept coming back. And I said to myself, God's telling me something, that I need to stop the madness, stop the chemo, just enjoy what I have left, which can be hard sometimes, but I do the best I can. And so that's why I also started coming to your meetings, because I went to one before on a Tuesday, and you were talking about your book, Angelic Attendance, which I just love. I mean, it's full of bookmarks, because I read it, and then I go back and I check on it again. And then after I read it, I decided to do the Thursday classes, because they're free. And so I thought, let me see what other people are saying about the book. And so I tried to mention it all the time, because it's an excellent book, especially for someone like me or someone like your mom, which the book is about. And I just want to share my experience. So hopefully, you know, people are going through some type of turmoil in their life, they can maybe get a different perspective. you know, because they have what's in your head is can be really hard on your head, your heart, and everything else, and can cause cancer. And so I just want to give another perspective. So I try to stay happy, but I also try to stay responsible to the other people. So I'm not like just giving them gibberish, and I want to talk truth because I believe in truth and honesty, and that's who I am. And yeah, that's the way I come. And also it's for myself. I'll be honest. It's also for myself because I feel like we were just talking about phase 11 since July the 6th of 23. You know, the book said it could take any amount of time, but I wasn't foreseeing this amount of time. And so it's caused me angst at the times. And I think people see that in me. They can see my transparency come out. But I try not to blubbery idiot to anybody. That's hard. But yeah, that's why I do it.
Well, what Denise is talking about, for those of you that think, okay, are you guys talking like some secret code or something? Yeah, we kind of are. Angelic attendance, what really happens as we transition from this life into the next. I have my copy right here in my drawer. Denise has hers too. And look, she's got the illustrations, and it's a configuration of what happens as we are dying, as we're transitioning from this life into pure spirit. And it's a configuration of angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets that surround us. And as we get closer to death, that configuration changes. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody that wants a copy of the book, a free copy, just go to julieryangift.com, julieryangift.com, and we'll send you a free copy. So if you think you're ever going to die, or if you've ever been through this with a loved one, or if you're going through it now, I mean, certainly we're all going to be in your shoes, Denise. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of the book was just to bring peace and comfort. And there are lots of stories in there about what happens from a spiritual side of the equation.
Right.
Let's back up a year when we first got acquainted. I don't think there's ever any coincidence in life. And
no.
The fact that you stumbled onto this information, I hope, has brought you some comfort as you've been going through this. Can you talk a little bit about that, about when you first got the diagnosis and it came back? I'm sure it was a shock to you. And tell us how you went about getting from that shock to where you are today as far as working with your doctors and your loved ones, and how you've been putting your life together since that time when you got this new diagnosis.
Okay, thank you. I can do that. So back in 2011 was the first time I even heard of cancer, and ovarian cancer, never heard of. That's why they call it the silent killer, because it's caught so late all the, or most of the time. And so back then I just went with, I think I gave you the site, the nccn.org. They're the ones that put out all the protocols for the various cancers. And so I'm a business analyst, in life and also by trade. So I went to the site and I started analyzing what they should be following for protocol. And then after I had that down, they just followed it. Back in 2011, they didn't have a lot. Things really changed when 2021 came around, which I was thankful for. But then too, I was also thankful because I had the experience from 2011, and that made me more of a defender for my own health care. It was the spiritual side I wasn't sure about. And so when I ran into you and I heard the book, I bought the book on Amazon that night, and I got it like the next day. And I just like read it so quickly, just because I wanted to get it in here so I could understand it and what the different phases were. And it helped a lot, because before that, I had another book, which is a medical book. And it's called The Dying Process.
Sure.
And it wasn't this helpful. This was not that helpful, because cancer is cancer. And basically the process is the same. It's how you choose to take that process and implement it into your life. And so I find angelic attendance books be so helpful because I do believe in God and Jesus. I'm spiritual, and there was nothing really out there that was spiritual that I liked. So I was just hooked on your book, Chubby. I was like, I would go to read the chapter, then I would go to one of your meetings, and then I would like go back to the book, and I'm like, oh, okay, I really like this, and I'm like, I want to do this. And I haven't done it yet, but I will. I'm not done yet.
Yeah, you're not. Are you in pain?
Yes.
Okay, are you in pain most of the time?
Most of the time, yes.
And
I have a fentanyl patch.
Okay.
And I change it every 3 days because I don't like morphine. Back in December, I had a really hard stint. I was at the palliative care center for about 4 days because my body couldn't deal with morphine. That's the first time I ever had it. And then I had on this fentanyl patch. Oh, it's on this site today. And then the next time it goes over here. And I turned into this crazy woman and I just couldn't deal with myself. And I just kept apologizing to my hospice people that come to the house. And so they put me in there and I just wanted to go home. I was like, just please let me act normal so I can go home and be by myself, because I lived by myself for years. And I made it back here, happy to say. My doctor was phenomenal. She explained how it was causing me internal, emotional, physical problems in my life, which is really helpful because I like to understand that side of it too. But I rather deal with the pain, which is what I'm doing. The fentanyl patch is good because it doesn't mess you up. And then I take Tylenol during the day because I like to have my wits and my brains about me.
Sure.
And my actual real emotions and not drug-induced emotions. So it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, but you know, it's a life-altering, life-limiting disease.
Right.
And, you know, you just have to figure out what's best for you, which that took me some time, and I'm still working on it. And I have great people in my life, like you and my friends and my dad and my sister and my mom and my aunt and all that family. They're up there waiting for me.
Can you tell us about the process that you went through when you made a decision to bring in hospice yourself? Tell us about what happened with that.
You know, in the beginning from my first experience, I had just a really bad experience the first time around. And
of course, this was 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know, and they're putting poison into your body. And this time they're putting poison plus a different drug to be included with that. And so it's even more of a big wham. So I finally said, okay, 6 rounds. That's all you get. After that, I did, I forget what it's called. It's chemo in a pill. And I did that for 6 months. And then I stopped and I said, my body is going to die from the solution, as you call it. And I said, I'm not going to die because of a drug. The medical oncologist put me on with palliative care at Mayo. And I told her my best decisions that I wanted to do in life, which was always after the first cancer, to live my life to its best and enjoy the time that I have while I'm here. That's always been my mantra. And she actually agreed with me after seeing my records. And she told me, when I took lots of vacations last year because I wanted to live one life while I was here. And she said, when you get back from all your vacations, I want you to get a hold of Hospice of the Valley. That's like the big hospice here. And so I did. And that's also a process. You know, you're leaving the medical community and then you're going into, they want to make you comfortable until you are no longer needing that. in walking up to your journey.
From an emotional standpoint, how was that when you made that decision? Was it agonizing for you, or was it just, okay, this is what I'm doing, boom, make the call?
It was good because I was finally on my own bus, you know, driving my own bus. And that felt good to me doing that. It was still unsettling because, you know, I'm an analyst, a process person. I live by project plans. And I tried that during the first cancer. Doesn't work. And yeah, I felt good. But then you get to the hospice part and they don't really give you a lot of information. They gave me a book like this. This is the one I got for my sister, Cheyenne Wyoming Hospital.
Well, I know a lot of hospice material includes if your loved one is talking about seeing deceased loved ones or pets, spirits, that they're not hallucinating. It's very, very common. And of course, that's what I talk about in angelic attendance. And I know that's what you've been seeing.
I keep that in mind because, you know, I see things, but it's just black. And it's like something just went by and I'm like, I don't want to mention this to hospice because I don't want any stronger drugs.
But no, they know it because the university-based research shows that 90% of people at the end of their lives, Denise, see the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets either in visions or dreams. And visions can be you see a figure go by and it's very common. They're all used to it. If you want to tell them, tell them. You can always decide whether you want more medication or not.
Yeah, I don't.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell them about that if you feel led to do that. Because they're very used to it. 90% of patients experience that. I mean, they have
that's
more patients that do than don't. Yeah. I had Dr. Chris Kerr on the show, and he is an MD, PhD, who runs a big hospice organization in Buffalo, New York. And he's the one that did the university-based research. And 90%, that's a lot. That's a big number.
That is.
Yeah.
It helps to see the numbers.
Right. Well, especially for a business analyst. But I have so many clients that when they read the book and then they say, oh my gosh, we just thought grandma was hallucinating. Well, she wasn't ever hallucinating. She was actually
I read that in the book.
Seeing them. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And it wasn't really mentioned in here, but I do have a hospice nurse coming this week to spend a little bit of extra time with me. Excuse me. Because I need to know more of what I am going through and how is that related to the process. Or is it related to the process, right? So, yeah, I have that this week, and that's going to help my brain and my heart.
Yeah. I know you've lost a lot of weight in the past few months.
I weigh 101 pounds.
Wow. Yeah. And what were you when you were healthy?
I was up to 155.
Okay.
Almost 160.
Is it that you're just not hungry? You just don't want to eat? What are you experiencing with that?
I don't want to eat. Like, I eat pudding, and I eat small amounts because if I eat too much, I feel really sick.
And are you finding that you're sleeping more?
Yes. I'm sleeping a lot more now. I would say my average is like 14 hours a day.
Okay. Yeah, what was normal before?
Well, when I was working, I worked a lot. But I would sleep 5 to 8 hours on the weekends, 5 hours during the week, because I had people everywhere, you know?
Yeah, and that's very common at the end of life, too. I've interviewed several hospice medical providers, and they all say that that's very common, that you sleep more and that you're eating less. And as you get closer, that's going to happen. Are you afraid to go? Are you afraid to pass?
You know, I thought about that. It's like the passing part seeing my sister didn't help, but I think that was like a one-off because she wasn't set up to be in the right place at the right time. I am curious about the journey.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'm afraid. I think it's the fact that I don't know it. And, you know, I try to put my analyst side, but it's really difficult. So I was walking my sister through it and trying to make her comfortable. So I think that helped me, which is so interesting. That was not the plan when I went there. I just wanted to get her off of life support. But yeah, I want to see the journey. I want to see if everyone's there welcoming me. I hope for that. I pray for that.
Absolutely. Do you have support systems to help you? Do you have friends or family that help you when you're not feeling well and that are there to run errands for you or cook for you or whatever you need?
Yes. I have Sandy. She was with my dad. It was her other half for over 20 years. So I've known her for a long time. And she told him that she would take care of me and I was part of the family. And that's proving to be incorrect. And so I'm going through that now. So I have my best friend back in my life. She's always been there, but now she's like my caretaker.
Uh-huh.
And she's going to take care of everything when I pass. I just finished a trust. And she's really helping me a lot. Also breaking down my own barriers or letting people help me. Like hospice is stepping in and helping me with stuff. And I get out house cleaning once a month. But Catherine, she's got a husband, so I feel kind of bad about that. But she's like, I'll let you know if I can't come. And it's like, okay, because we're kind of on the same level. Sometimes she tries to read me. And it's kind of funny. And so, yeah, but she's been a godsend for me. I just can't. Like you.
No,
you're a
you
godsend
sweet thing.
To me. So
no.
I thank you.
You are so welcome. Do you want to go when you're home?
Yeah.
Okay. So hospice is going to help you do that and your friend?
My Aunt Roberta, she got to do that. She had the breast cancer 3 times and hospice came to her home the last time around. She actually died in her sleep. And I thought, God, that is just so peaceful, you know, to be in your home and be, you know, in your own place and you're in charge of it all. And she was a great one to be in charge. And she died in her sleep and they helped her through it. And that's what I want. But the first time that's the big difference. You know, the first time being from Minnesota, I didn't tell anybody that I had cancer.
Yeah.
Because that's just how it works and my family. And this time around, I've told everybody because I experienced what it felt like to have someone in my family have cancer and not tell me. You know, it hits you really hard because it's like all these things go through your mind of why?
How have people responded when you tell them that you're at the end of your life? Have you ever heard of Cozy Earth bedding? It's your ultimate luxury escape. Cozy Earth sheets are temperature regulating and incredibly soft, and they even have a 10-year warranty. They're made from organic bamboo and silk, are hypoallergenic, and even antimicrobial. Cozy Earth sheets are so amazing, they've been on Oprah's favorite things list for 5 years in a row, and I have them on my bed right now. So, if you're ready to elevate your sleep, Cozy Earth has a special offer just for my listeners. Go to cozyearth.com and use the code AskJulie for a 35% discount. That's cozyearth.com and use code AskJulie for a 35% discount. Upgrade your sleep with Cozy Earth bedding. I love them and so will you.
Some people look at me like I'm crazy. That's probably 10%. And I would say the other 90%, They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do to help you? And, you know, all of the people around me in my community and my friends and my real good friends, they come over, bring me lunch or, you know, they chit-chat, stay and chit-chat, which is nice because, you know, that's nice that they do that because I do like people.
Right.
It's just, I can't get anywhere because the trolley only runs on during the week. That's free. And I just don't have the energy. You know, I'm going to start using my rollator. I call it my walkabout. And I'm getting it an outfit to wear.
So that's your walker, basically.
Yeah. I call have a walker, roller. But this is a rollator, and it's got wheels on it.
Yeah. And you're going to put an outfit on your rollator?
I bought one. I found it on Etsy, or however you say it. And it's Aztec. It's the pattern, because I like it. But it's got teal. And it's got a little bit of orange. It's got red, which is the color of my rollator. That's official name. Yeah, so I got a seat cover because it gets hot here. And got a big bag so I can go check my mail and carry things around. I'm preparing. You know, as you keep going through all of this, you lose a little bit. Then you lose more. And then you lose. So you got to try to make the best of it.
Yeah. I know that you went on a cruise last fall, right?
Yes.
And I know you and I have talked about that you had somewhat of a bucket list of things that you wanted to accomplish. Can you tell us about that? And have you gotten to do everything that you wanted to do?
For the most part, depends upon how you spin it. If you spin it the right way, like I've been doing, I've got to experience almost all of it. You know, I would like to go back to Canada. I had a job, and that's where the corporate office was, in Montreal. And I would like to see more of Canada just because, or also up there, East Coast, you know, in the United States, I'd never seen that part. So I'd like to see that, but getting around is getting really difficult because I run out of breath so much. You know, I sleep with the oxygenator at night. And that's just for comfort care. I think I'm homebound unless Kathleen wants to go somewhere when she gets back. Because I can't drive. I mean, I'm not going to get an Uber to go up, you know, up north in Arizona.
Right. Well, and bottom line, when you're in heaven, you can go visit all those places.
Yeah, it was fun.
You don't
fun.
Get them here, so you can do that. The other thing, too, is are you finding it frustrating that this is taking longer than what you thought it would take for you to pass? Or is that not the right word? Is frustration not the right word?
I haven't really found the right word. I think frustration's a good word, but I really don't want to use it. And the reason why is because it puts out a negative connotation.
Listen.
That I don't want out there. Like you say, it's taking too long. And so everyone's like, well, you got to live your day for the day that's in front of you and do everything you can. And I do. But still at the same time, I'm like, did I do something wrong where it's taking me this long? I mean, what's going on here? I thought I was a good person. You know, I volunteered and I've supported myself So I don't understand it. That's probably it. I don't understand it.
You keep sending me these emails and say, why is this taking so long? Why am I still here?
Yeah.
What is this all about? And then when you call into the show on a Thursday night, you're saying, why am I still here? I say, well, your spirit.
I know.
I know. Your spirit's not ready to go yet because we all decide where we go, when we go, how we go, who's with us or not when we go. You know that.
Right. I know
and
that.
It's just a matter of, you mentioned earlier that you're a planner and an analyzer, and you kind of had this all mapped out, and your spirit's got a different scenario of things that have been unfolding, and you're experiencing the opportunity to live with that and say, okay, this is somewhat out of my control.
Yeah, it is. It is. See, that's hard, isn't it? Because I was always under control. So losing control is one thing, but I've asked my spirit, I've asked my angels, my guides, I'm like, can anyone share with me what's going on? Usually I can pick up, but for some reason I can't pick up what's going on with me. So I really would find that helpful, you know, to have a bit more information. It was one of my questions. I know I keep asking you, but.
You do. Yeah.
I do. And I do.
And all I can tell you is your spirit is experiencing what it wants to experience. And you've got more to experience before you, you know, take that flight to heaven. And you're doing it beautifully from what I can see. We're in touch quite a bit, you and I.
Yeah.
And I marvel at your strength and your grace and your attitude as you're going through all of this, because I know this has been so hard on you, both emotionally and physically. And you're saying, okay, enough already. I'm tired. I'm ready to go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it emotional? Is it physical? Is it combination? Is it something I've never heard of? I mean, that's why I keep searching.
It's all of the above. It's all of the above. And when you said earlier to Denise, she said, did I do something wrong? You know, I'm a good person. And the bottom line is, no, you haven't done anything wrong. Everything's all unfolding perfectly.
That's one of my things. It's like, I'm working on that too, because, you know, I'll say, I'm sorry to a telephone. And then I'll say why I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry to a telephone?
Maybe I'll drop it. I don't know.
Oh, I see.
I say sorry to anything. I think I've lived alone too long. Talk to myself, answer myself. I don't know.
I'd like to do an exercise with you if you're game that I call the walk to heaven.
Okay.
And it's a dress rehearsal of what happens when somebody transitions.
Okay.
And it's something that can remove fear. I find so many people at the end of their lives are so afraid to die because we in the Western world all know about heaven and hell. And people say, well, am I going to fly or am I going to fry when I die? And I find that people, especially who have been raised in a culture or a religion that espouses that, there's a lot of fear there. And they suffer at the end. And you know what I say, and it's been my experience working with tens of thousands of families and people at the end of their lives, that everybody goes to heaven.
Right.
Like the movie in the 1980s, all dogs go to heaven, all people go to heaven too.
Yep. And I say that too now.
Yeah. And then people say, well, what about Hitler? And I say, well, Hitler's spirit, all spirits are pure love. Hitler's humanness stayed with his body. That's what he came to experience in this lifetime. And
our
it's almost like
go off and just do what they're supposed to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if we're playing a role in a movie or a play.
Right.
We're following a script.
From watching you with other people, I'm like, that's amazing. I just love that idea. You're so helpful.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
thanks.
To ease their mind.
Every morning in my morning prayers, I say, okay, God, show me what you want me to do. And I get so much information downloaded, and there's a lot of it has been over the years. I've been doing this a long time now, but over the years, I say, what? That doesn't make any sense. And then I'll have a conversation with spirit about it, and they'll explain, no, everybody's spirit's pure love. And everybody goes back to heaven, what I call heaven, you know, good Catholic girl. Non-physical is heaven to me. And you will be there too. As well.
Yeah.
You are in phase 11. You are between 11 and 12. 12 is when you're escorted to heaven by angels. And you, for a long time, were sending me emails that said, Julie, I'm at phase 12. And why am I still here? And I'd say, well, actually, you're not, because phase 12 is you're being escorted to heaven. And if you're sending me an email,
that's why it feels hot there.
You're still in phase 11. Does the top of your head feel hot?
The top of my head is hot. And this is hot. This is where my patch is. Yeah, it's hot here.
Yeah.
And then my ears are hot. But I hear hearing is the last thing to go. And I have two hearing aids.
Yeah.
And I'm deaf in this side from born with a disease. And they're not working like they should. Like this, I really don't expect to work because I'm basically deaf. But this side is not that bad. And it's even the Bluetooth, like electronics, in my ears are just going bonkers. So something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my tinnitus is really loud.
And you know that the spirit exits through the top of the head. And holds on like a cartoon caption bubble. So that would make sense because that's where all of your human energy is holding on to that spirit in these final phases of your life. I've never heard anybody say that before, but that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it does to me.
It's hanging on. And then you're surrounded by angels. You're surrounded by the spirits of deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets. There's a vortex that's formed above that spirit bubble. There are extra angels on either side of the spirit bubble. And their wings have been moving for a long time, Denise. We've talked about this. Uh-huh. And their wings move and they remind me of a giant owl's wings. Very slow movement. Very rhythmic. And that movement has created this vortex, which will help your spirit lift and separate from your body.
Okay.
And as you know, when I was writing the book, I did some research. I talk about this in the book. And I just did an internet search on wings, giant owls, vortex. Well, come to find out, there's this thing called the wingtip vortex.
There
that
is?
Anything that flies. Oh, yeah. Any plane, every jet, every bug, every kite, there's this vortex that forms beneath the plane's wings, and it's what causes upward lift.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and so that phenomenon of those angels' wings moving and causing that vortex to form above your head, which I can see right now, that's how your spirit's going to separate from your body. And then when the spirit comes out of the vortex, then those angels will escort you to heaven. So let's do the walk to heaven if you're okay with that. It's kind of a dress rehearsal.
Okay.
What's going to happen? And I do this often with clients, and graduates of my class do it a lot too because they know how important it is. So imagine that my spirit is separated from my body and I've come and I've joined your spirit and I've separated your spirit from your body. Now, we're still going to be able to talk because neither of us have transitioned yet, right? So a portion of the spirit is still there, but the main part of the spirit is there. So where our arms are interlocked and we're in this desert, speaking of Arizona, we're in the middle of the desert where Denise lives. We're in the middle of the desert and we're walking arm in arm and I'm on your left, my right arm's through your left arm and I'm holding you up so you don't need your rollator. And I'm holding you up and we're walking through the desert into the setting sun. And it's vibrant colors, you know, in the desert, for heaven's sakes. The sunsets are magnificent. And as we walk through the desert, the sand just feels warm, but there's no sound around us, Denise. It's just very peaceful. And as we get closer into the setting sun, we see that there's a black hole in the middle of the sun. And you know how the sun sets, it's like a semicircle almost as it's setting. So once we get up to the setting sun, we're in front of this black hole. And the black hole has a gravitational pull that's forward. So what happens is we're vertical as we're walking through the desert, but then we go horizontal and we're being pulled by this gravitational force through this black hole. There's no sight, there's no sound, there's no temperature. It's just black, but we are speeding at the speed of light, if not faster.
Wild.
When we get to the end of the black hole, we go vertical again.
Okay.
Do you remember the Rocket Man? He had a rocket on his back and, you know, he'd take off, he'd be vertical, and then when he was flying, he'd go horizontal. Right. That's what it reminds me of. We're dating ourselves here. Yeah.
Right.
So we are vertical again, and there's this magnificently brilliant yellowish whitish wall of light in front of us. I mean, it's like blindingly bright. And so we're arm in arm again, and we walk through it, and it's plasma. As we walk through it, it seals up, and we can't see where we walked through. And as soon as we get through, and I just heard it, all your family and friends, spirits from all of your lifetime are there waiting to see you. And I always hear this roar when we get on the other side of the heavenly gates, the you know, wall to heaven. And I hear this roar like in a stadium at a football game when somebody makes a touchdown and the crowd's going nuts. It's just like, woof. And that's what it sounds like. And so you've separated from me, and now you've been swallowed up in this crowd of your loved ones. And they're all hugging you and kissing you and, you know, wanting to welcome you. And they're so thrilled that you're there. And, you know, all your parents, all your relatives, your sister, your grandparents, your beloved aunt, everybody is there. And from all the lifetimes, because those spirits are all in the room with you all the time now, too. So I heard a dad in spirit, we were talking with his daughter, and he said, it was like a magic trick because all those spirits that were in the room that I could see when I got to the other side of heaven, they were there too. That's like that disappearing woman, you know, the magician had put a woman in the box and he'd spin the box and then she'd be gone and then she'd reappear.
Uh-huh.
So that they're all there. And
you okay?
I'm gonna let you be there for a minute or so as you're greeting them. Feel the love, I can see on your face, you're feeling it, of how everybody is just so thrilled to have you in heaven with them. And then I'm going to go into the crowd and I'm going to pull you back here in a minute. And we're going to come back in the desert, and then we're going to attach your spirit to your body again. So are you ready to come back? Can I come in and get you?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess so.
All right. Are you feeling goosebumps when I'm describing some of this?
I feel goosebumps and I feel so happy that they're there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all, and they're going to be like, you have just scored the ultimate touchdown when you pass through, you know, that plasma wall. By the way, I've never seen St. Peter at the pearly gates with a clipboard saying, okay, you're allowed in. No, you can't come. You got to go burn for eternity. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going into the crowd and I'm going to go, I've got your hand and you're saying to me, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, I know, like I'm trying
to. But you know, you don't, really. You're pulling on me like you're three and you don't want to leave the party. So I'll say, okay, I promise you'll be able to be back here soon. And this is what you're going to experience. And so I've got you, we've come out through that plasma wall again. And then we're in the black hole. We've gone horizontal. We're being pulled with this gravitational pull back into the human reality is what we're doing.
Okay.
And then once we get through that black hole, which, by the way, is a real thing. Astrophysicists can calculate those. You know, it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, we're on the other side. Now we're walking from the backside to the front side of the setting sun again.
Okay.
And we're walking through the desert and arm in arm again. But you're standing up straighter and you don't really need support as you're walking back. And this is very common, Denise. It's very common that I see this. I'll see elderly people with walkers or in a wheelchair or whatever. And on the way back, they're like, yeah, I don't need that anymore.
I know. So, my head's nice and hot and happy.
Yeah. So we're going, all right. So your spirit's being reattached to your head. And now mine's being coming back inside my body. And that's what's going to happen.
Oh, it's so peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. And joyful.
Oh, God.
And, you know, it's going to be the biggest welcome home party you can ever imagine. And there's so many spirits there, Denise, that they look like dots on the horizon. I mean, they're teeny weeny little itty bitty dots because there's so many of them there because it's from all of your lifetimes.
Oh, that was a question I had about my past lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
What was the question?
Well, I really have thought on my mind, and I actually went to somebody, but I ends up I didn't believe her. Don't know why my gut was saying she's full of it. So I had to follow my gut, right? But I think I was an accountant or something to do to work behind a desk with candlelight because there was no lights in cobblestone streets and kind of like a Scrooge.
Scrooge, yeah. That's what I was hearing.
Sit there with the light and that's what was happening to me. That's not nice. But see, I let that happen, which is a thing I'm going through today.
Well, but I think that it's feasible that that lifetime happened because I'll see a semblance of a script that will repeat throughout multiple lifetimes, different time, different variables, like different gender, different whatever. But you're an analyst. You were an accountant, perhaps, in that lifetime. And, you know, we can do that sometime if you want. But all these spirits are there and they're around you now and they're dressed in period dress.
Wow.
So that's how I know that. And, there are characters there. There are spirits that look like characters out of the Christmas Carol, out of the Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah, with the top hat and the, and all of that.
And us in our dresses.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So there's that.
Okay, that's good.
So I hope the walk to heaven gives you some comfort. Whenever you're feeling some fear, just remember that story that we went through the setting sun. You know, all your family's there waiting to greet you. In closing, are there maybe two or three things that you would recommend to everybody just to prepare for their, everybody's going to pass at some point? Are there a couple of golden nuggets you'd like to leave with everybody listening and watching?
To get your finances in order, make sure you have something set up. Like I have an end of life folder where I save everything for my person, Kathleen. She's learning how to use a MacBook Pro and not a computer. And, that's a good thing to have. The health insurance. I got a cremation plan. They're not cheap and they go up every year.
Okay.
So that would be some good advice. Learn how to ask for help when you need help. I wasn't good at this. Learn to ask for help when you need help. Because people, when they know you're in a situation, any kind of, you know, life-limiting situation, they want to help you and they don't know how. So it's our responsibility to ask for the help. And I've gotten better at that this time around. So I would say this time around, I got better at all the things I just listed for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's because of my first experience. I didn't have that put in place.
Okay.
And it was settling for me too, because then I have that put in place and I don't have to worry.
All right. Well, you're very brave. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. And I just am sending you so much love and gratitude.
Feel it.
And I'm blessed in my life to know you and to have been able to talk with you.
Yeah,
for
thank
all
you
this
so much.
Time.
All
thank
of you.
Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey here at the end of your life.
It's been wonderful since you've come into my life.
No.
I can't believe it.
Well, I feel the same about you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I really enjoy this journey. You know, I try to make good out of the bad.
That's right. All right, everybody. Sending you lots of love from Sweet Home, Alabama. Mwah! And from Arizona, too, where Denise is. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow Julie on Instagram and YouTube at Ask Julie Ryan, and like her on Facebook at Ask Julie Ryan. To schedule an appointment or submit a question, please visit AskJulieRyan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be medical, psychological, financial, or legal advice. Please contact a licensed professional. The Ask Julie Ryan Show, Julie Ryan, and all parties involved in producing, recording, and distributing it assume no responsibility for listeners' actions based on any information heard on this or any Ask Julie Ryan shows or podcasts.